The Aqueduct and Oaklawn Cross Country Pick 5 edition of the Notorious OTB on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today with promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Champs. Run your own March Madness pool and enter Champs free bracket contest for a chance to win 1,000. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Welcome, everybody, to the Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And folks, as always,
it's all good, baby. It was all a dream.
We used to read Blood Horse Magazine. I got my Cuban links
yes,
on.
Yes, Cuban B.
And I'm your host, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oaklawn.
I got ice all over my body looking like a snowman. Big rocks in the grill dancing like a slow jam. My chain's so heavy, I'm walking like an old man. Try me, you.
Joining me today, friend of the show. One of the most hated men on Twitter.
Many men wish death upon me. Blood in my dog.
Or you might just know him as my good friend, Andrew Champagne. What's up, Andrew?
That always gets me. That's a heck of a clip, man. I appreciate that. It's good to be here. Good to be talking about a fun cross-country pick five sequence for this coming Saturday, March the 9th. Had a lot of fun handicapping this. Bunch of big fields, bunch of competitive fields, Chase. It's hard to narrow some of these races down, and this cross-country pick five is one of those wagers where I think we're going to look at it and say, wait a minute, you're telling me 4-1 to 7-2 to 5-2 to 5-1 paid this much? Okay. It's a fun sequence.
I agree. I we'll kind of talk about, our strategies for it. I wonder though, we've started getting into the Derby preps. You could say we're pretty much in the thick of it. Have you had anyone yet that really strikes your fancy as far as the first weekend in May goes?
So the one thing that I will tell you is if you are looking at Derby futures and you're, say, going to Las Vegas, comparison shop the heck out of things, because there are some books where the price varies pretty wildly. And the thing that jumped off the board at me is over at Circa in Las Vegas. Usually they do not like horse players, but they will take Kentucky Derby future bets. And what I will tell you is, I am very surprised that Fierceness is nearly 18-1 at that particular book. Circa right. has Fierceness has either the seventh or eighth choice. Chase, if Fierceness shows up on the first Saturday in May and runs back to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, who beats him?
No one.
Exactly. That would be where my future money would go at this particular point in time. That's a case where it's just one of those instances where, yeah, we don't know which Fierceness shows up, but if the good Fierceness shows up, 18-1's a gift.
I agree. Going into some of the bigger preps, like before the Fountain of Youth, before the Rebel, I kind of felt like we hadn't seen the Derby winner yet. And I kind of think now I'm starting to warm up to a couple of horses after watching them. And I'm so bad about recency bias and everything, because right now I'm thinking that Timberlake is just the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Timberlake brought sexy back.
No, I used that joke. I did use that joke. I also said that he would be making future sex love sounds in the breeding shed after his 3-year-old career.
If he retires early, you can cry me a river.
Yes, I can, Andrew. This feels like a good time to move on. What was your strategy? Let's talk about what we're going to be talking about. As Andrew alluded to, it's the Aqueduct/Oaklawn Saturday cross country pick five. It includes Aqueduct races 7 and 8, Oaklawn races 8, 9, and 10. Post time for the first leg of the sequence, Aqueduct race 7 is 4:29 Eastern, 3:29 God's time. and 129 out where Andrew is on the specific coast. I'm curious, did you have a strategy for this sequence? Did you have one track that you felt like you could maybe dial in a little bit and another one where you felt like you needed to spread out?
So I'm a little bit more confident in the two aqueduct races that kick things off. Once we start going to Oaklawn, you wind up getting into a couple of very big fields. The last race, I thought you needed to take a stand in some way, shape, or form. Not necessarily single, but be very confident in how the race is going to potentially unfold. I was able to narrow it down to two horses in that particular race, but it's a case where Josh Rodriguez and I handicapped the late pick four over on Drank and Champagne, show that I think is in the family of horse racing podcasts here. So,
sure.
Yeah. And we saw that race completely differently. We combined to use either five or six horses in that field, and we have absolutely nothing in common.
But did you Josh Rodriguez handicap it where you only look at it 5 minutes ahead of time?
No, we did not. And I must tell you that I did not use any E8s in there. There's no inexpensive velocity going on in there.
There we go. I'll have you know.
Let me rephrase that. There's a lot of inexpensive velocity in there, and I went with a couple of closers.
I'll have you know I coined the phrase inexpensive velocity.
I know. That's the joke.
No big deal. All right. For me, I thought you could get skinny in the first two races, and so that's what I did with Aqueduct Card. I much like Andrew, tried to focus in and drill down and get my cheapies, I guess, if you will, out of the way with Aqueduct. And I'm spreading out late at Oaklawn because, like you said, there are some huge fields and there are some tough fields in here. There appears to be some weather in the forecast with both tracks. How do you figure that in when you're handicapping a day in advance? Does it change up your process at all?
Chase, are you telling me it's going to rain at Oaklawn? I am shocked. Shocked, I say, at your assessment. Oaklawn is starting to move into Horseshoe Indianapolis territory of if it is raining anywhere in the state, it is pouring at insert track here.
Right.
And yeah, obviously, if it starts raining, you start looking at bloodlines, you start looking at pedigrees, you start looking at off track form a little bit more intensely. But I mean, it's horrible. Oaklawn has been off the turf for a while now, and it's sickening what's going on.
That's amazing. All right. Let's go ahead. Let's dive in. Aqueduct Race 7 is the first leg. 8 furlongs, $82,000. Not a winner's a one-something allowance. And, of course, on the dirt, because I don't believe they've taken the turf out of the shrink wrap yet at Aqueduct. In this race, I think you have a good old Aqueduct slow pace. And I'm most interested in a horse that projects to be out in front. And then I want one that should be stalking the pace close because I don't think that the fractions get warm enough here to see a meltdown for a deep closer. So I went with two horses tossing the favorite here. I'm interested, Andrew, how did you see this race? How did you attack it?
So I think we're tossing the same horse because I did not like the morning line favorite number 5 expected value in here. This horse has made up a lot of ground, but does seem to be pretty pace dependent. They're putting blinkers on this horse after 5 starts, which to me seems like, okay, we know this horse has some talent, but we need to try to figure out what's going to unlock that horse's talent because some weird stuff has happened over the last couple of races. He's taken a fair amount of money. He's going to be the favorite in here, but I'm just not crazy about the likely pace setup in here. I went 3 deep without using that particular horse, and my top pick is actually the horse all the way to the outside. That's number 10, Vespucci, who we haven't seen run since June, but that pedigree of by Empire Maker out of a Tappet mare does not scream will win at first asking going 6 furlongs. That's true. What this horse did. Rallied from 7th, 3 1/4 lengths back at the first call, last to first at Monmouth, which doesn't happen very often. I thought that was a very impressive debut for connections, by the way, that don't seem to win at first asking all that much. This is a trainer that knows how to bring horses back off of long layoffs. This is a horse that is bred to stretch out. And I think there's a chance Vespucci is very, very good as he winds up going on a map-making voyage in the 7th at Aqueduct. Yes, a historical joke for you. Really?
I was wondering if there would be an Amerigo Vespucci reference, and there it is. All right. Yep. So in this race here, I went too deep here, and I used the 7 and the 8. The 7, Suerte, 6-1. Something I never pay attention to, but when it goes in my way, I guess I'll use it as a plus. Based on Prime Power on Brisnet, this one should be the best in the field. It towers on figures and should very much love the cutback to the mile distance where the horse is 5-2-1-0. I think the speed plus the cutback to one turn make the difference here, and it should be out pressing for the lead. I think you're going to be want to be close, not necessarily on the speed. So I use the 8 also, Mystical Curlin at 4-1. I think should get the ideal stocking trip and have first run at the early speed. If any horse can come from a couple links off the pace to win this race, then it's Mystical Curlin.
So I would very much like Mystical Curlin if this track came up really, really sloppy. These connections wind up doing rain dances for it. And if you look back at a couple of races this horse has run, it makes a lot of sense. But I'm using Suerte as well. I love the cutback to one turn. I love this horse's proven early speed. That race two back, he went very, very fast. That first half mile going 46-3, going a mile and an eighth at Aqueduct, that's flying. And this horse held on for second. I think there's a fair amount of talent there, and there's a chance he goes early and forgets to stop. The other horse I'm going to use is number 3, Duke of Gloucester, who was just too far back last time, going a mile and an eighth, going two turns, which is not what this horse wants to do. Didn't run terribly that day, but was just sort of one pace. If you cross out that race, you're left with a horse that's won 3 of 4 starts, dating back to October of 2023, a horse that's in good form, and a horse that I think may very well luck into that golden stalking trip just off of a pace that we don't think is going to be very fast. 3-7-10 for me in race number 7 at Aqueduct. We're both trying to beat the favorite, and if we do that, I think we knock out a lot of tickets right off the bat.
There we go. And speaking of knocking off a lot of tickets, you can knock a little bit off of your ticket at the SGPN merch store. That's right, because we've got Merch Madness, 15% off everything in the merch store. Promo code MADNESS. And we're brought to you by our good friends at Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, plus tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers a lower VIG and fully customizable odds. And get this, you can create your own bets. So download Cut today in the App Store over at KUTT.com. That's KUTT, and use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. And of course, we're brought to you by our good friends over at Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Listen, it's easy. You just have to take your favorite players and say if they're going to go higher or lower in a stat total for their game this week and have a chance to win big. And you can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Listen, I love Underdog Fantasy because I'm a pessimist. I love just taking lower for everything. I take everything to the lower level. So sign up today with promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. And I typically do. I forgot to make water, but I will go ahead and make a hydration break interlude here.
You hate jazz. Yeah. You fear jazz.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, you fear jazz, don't
no,
you?
No, I don't.
You fear the lack of rules.
No.
The lack of boundaries. Ooh, it's a fence. No, it's soft. Ah, what's happening? The shapes, the chaos.
All right, we are back. Andrew and I are trying to make handicapping jazz here. Do you scat? Do you play any like mouth trumpet or anything?
I do not. I'm still hung up on you liking playing unders. You are what we gamblers refer to as a monster if you relish playing unders.
You call me a monster. I call myself the unders taker.
Dong.
Dong. Yeah. All right. Race 8, 6 furlongs, $100,000. The correction stakes. I'm not saying there's a correction. The name is the correction stakes. In my opinion, this race was a great spot for a single because I only liked two horses And that one was the tosser used chalk and the other was second choice. What'd you think?
So I'm going to incur the wrath of the ticket police in here because I am using both of the horses that you just mentioned, because thankfully I'm skinny enough elsewhere to where it's not going to totally blow up the cost of a ticket. And also, I don't know which one of these horses is going to go off a huge favorite and which one's going to go off the second choice, because I do think number four, Can't Hurry Love, is going to take money because this horse always seems to take money and could very well sit the ideal stalking trip. Number five, Hot Fudge, though, comes in winning four in a row, is 5 of 6 with a third here at Aqueduct. I don't think there's a lot of reason to go against Hot Fudge in this particular spot. I just used them both and moved on. One thing I will say, though, if you're looking for a bomb underneath, I do think number 8, Risk Free, is worth a look in that second and third spot in Exactas and Tries. I think you can draw a line through the last out effort. There was absolutely no pace that day going 6 furlongs. This was a closer that rated behind fractions of 23-1 and 47-2. It was a very slow early pace that particular day, and this horse never had a shot. I like the rider switch to Jose Gomez, and I do think there's going to be some more speed signed on. Would not be surprised if Risk Free hits the board at a pretty big number. But yeah, I think this is a two-horse race, and rather than be right about the other four races with some intriguing horses and get crushed by having the wrong single, I'm just using them both and moving on.
I am going to be intrigued by horses and get those earlier in the card, and then I'm going to have the wrong single here. That's right. I am singled.
Now, the women love you when you...
That's the wrong James Brown. Let me find the right one. Where is it? It's the good one. Where'd it go? Oh, man. This is just... I'm falling down on my duties as a...
Well, if you're falling down, then get up, get on up.
That's... Ooh.
I'm singing. I want a mango.
You want to mingle.
Yeah.
There we go. Got to get up for the downstroke, if you will. Yeah, I'm singling the four, Can't Hurry Love, at 5-2. Going very slightly contrarian and using the second choice horse as opposed to the even money favorite. And the favorite looks tough, but the pace might not do any favors for Hot Fudge, I think. And I really like the trip that Can't Hurry Love should get sitting just off the early speed of a few horses. So we pretty much see it the exact same way. I was just more worried about Hot Fudge burning up on the front end as opposed to Can't Hurry Love.
Yeah, we both see it the same way. I'm just a wuss that wanted to get out of the race.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I like that we're being honest. This is a safe space.
Yeah, if we're being honest, by the way, can you provide me a good reason for why James Brown's Living in America should not be our national anthem?
You know, there's part of me that wants that says yes, and then there's part of me that's like, no, it's Proud to Be an American by Lee Greenwood.
Oh, God, no. Not with some of his recent comments. No.
Oh, you just got to forget about it and remember how, as a child, that song hit the tuning fork in your heart, you know?
Well, it hit the tuning fork in the heart because of what happened that caused that song to come out. But I when Carl Weathers unfortunately passed away, the clip that I watched 20 or 30 times was his entrance in Rocky IV coming down
from to America.
It's yeah. Living in America, odd eye, and then yeah. Going reeling off all of the cities and Rocky Balboa going, oh God. But yeah. We're not going to talk about the 10 minutes that came after that entrance because that's burned in my heart of hearts and makes me cry.
Yeah, but that's a spoiler when
rest
Rocky
in
dies,
peace, Carl Weathers.
Or when Apollo dies. Yeah. All right. Race 8 at Oaklawn Park. We move to Oaklawn now for the rest of the pick 5. It's 9 furlongs, $115,000 maiden special weight on the dirt. This is a lot longer than most maiden races go at Oaklawn. Well, I guess a half furlong longer than most do. Now, fortunately, I was thin for the Aqueduct races, so it gives me room to explore the space in the Oaklawn races and go as deep as I feel will get the job done. What did you think of this maiden special weight? I got to think that you're spread out here, too.
So a little bit. I'm going 3 deep, and I'm taking a stand against your 3-1 morning line favorite. That's number 3, Ronaldinho. I think Ronaldinho would be very tough if this race was 7 furlongs or a mile or one of those elongated one-turn distances. I look at this pedigree and I don't think Ronaldinho wants 2 turns. I see Dialed In at the top, and Dialed In can throw a horse that gets a distance of ground. But this mare that this horse is out of is by Song and a Prayer, who was an absolute speedball sprinter who threw speedball sprinters. I think if you're looking for a favorite to play against, Ronaldinho is that favorite to play against. Talented horse, but I just don't think he wants two turns. I'm going three deep in here. My top selection is number one, Native Land, who has run well a couple of times already at this meet. He debuted running third at a big price behind Common Defense, who came right back to run second in the Rebels. So that race has already cranked the form a little bit, and then ran a decent second going a mile and a 16th in the slop, where he was probably just a little closer to the pace than he wants to be. I think Native Land has a lot of things going for him. I think there's every chance he steps up at third asking and winds up being the best horse in the race. I'm also going to use both of the Kenny McPeak trained runners. As I said elsewhere, Kenny McPeak is a very tricky trainer for me, and there are times where he just steps up and booms me, and I do not expect it. I much prefer Django based on form. I think you can use the toss two metric, throw out the last two races, and all of a sudden you look back at that two-year-old form, and you have a horse that's run into the likes of Doorknock and Liberal Arts and West Saratoga, good horses, and if he runs back to that, he's got a big shot. But the thing that gives me a little bit of pause with Django is Julian Leperoux is Kenny McPeak's first call rider, and he chooses to ride number 10 Elko County. I'm wondering why he did that, and as such, I need to include the 10 as well. 1-8-10 for me, trying to beat horse number 3, Ronaldinho, and if there are scratches anywhere in the sequence, I would also consider throwing in number 2, Yell County, who goes second off the layoff and may have needed that last race, going a mile and a 16th, going two turns for the first time, not an easy thing to do. I think that one has the potential to improve at a price as well.
All right. I spread out. This is where the ticket police come and get me, because I use Ronaldinho and I use Django. I use both of those horses. That sounds just like an amazing soccer highlight, the Django to Ronaldinho connection there. I'll go ahead. I'll talk about who I liked. And the 2, Yell County at 12-1 was one that I was really a big fan of. The Way Out ran its odds last out at 40-1 and ran fourth over, you know, after the first application of Lasix. I always think that short leaf horses are due to run pretty well within the first or second, you know, application of Lasix. And I think the Yell County could maybe, you know, get out, be a gate to wire winner, second on the Lasix for short leaf. Ronaldinho, you already talked about. Django, you already talked about. So the only other horse that I'm going to mention is the 7, Always Be Smart, at 20-1. Has some closing chops, and it's one of the few S or P types in this race that has actually passed horses as opposed to passing tired horses and not making up ground on the leader. So I was 2-3-7-8 there.
If the 7 wins and Nick Zito winds up getting home, cool. Nick Zito is a Hall of Fame trainer, good guy who is still plugging away with a much smaller outfit. So good on him if he winds up beating me in this spot. One more thing before we move on. One of my favorite names is in this particular race. That's number 6, Tell 'Em I'm Coming. Chase, a little trivia for you. You know where that's from?
No, I don't, actually.
It's from a fantastic early 1990s Western called Tombstone. You tell them,
oh, it's up coming and hell's coming with me.
You betcha. That movie is near perfect. If you take out all of the Josephine Marcus bullshit that was clearly put in to satisfy the women that got taken there by their boyfriends and husbands, it's a fantastic world-class movie. Even as it is, it's still pretty darn good. But yeah, You Tell Them I'm Coming and Hell's Coming With Me.
You know, I was a big fan of Tell Them I'm, I bet Tell Them I'm Coming in the last race the horse ran. In an exacta ice cold, and it was in first Tell Them I'm Coming, and in second Money Shot. Ba-dump chank. There we go. All right, real quick, get a word in here from our good friends at Champs. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest. Not Champs in the Mall. Champs, this is a different thing. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win 1,000 plus. If you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so make sure to register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. And as always, we are brought to you by the good nerds at Hall of Fame Bets, who want you to win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting the dark. Join over 30,000 users researching Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or you visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. And, excuse me, brief rehydration interlude. If you had a second line and them boys got a gun, you better run for it, run for it, run. And if you're too deep in some beef and them boys about to come, you better run for it, run for it, run. All right. Let's go ahead. Let's hit, I guess, the feature probably of this sequence. Oakland Park Race 9, 8.5 furlong, $400,000, the Aziri Stakes Grade 2 on the dirt. A nice little classic race for the older fillies and mares here. I'm consciously trying to get around the chalk here, and I'll leave it off my ticket. This should be a pretty quick pace for an 8-horse field. I think that this is going to lend itself to a horse that can run from a stalking or deeper closing position. What did you think of this setup?
So I'm going to preface this by saying the thing that I say pretty much every time I do this. Making a morning line is a thankless job. If you get it right, no one notices. If you get it wrong, horse racing Twitter goes insane. I don't love calling out morning lines too much, but Chase, I think this one is wrong. I think number 4 comparative is going to be favored and going to be favored by a pretty solid margin, coming in off of 5 wins in the last 6 starts. The only clunker coming in the Black Eyed Susan, where it's pretty clear something went wrong. A winner of the Bayakoa last time out. I looked at the morning line and I saw that this one was the second choice on the morning line behind a horse that finished 5th, beaten 4 lengths by that one last time out. That seems wrong, but big but coming. I don't like comparative in this spot. I think comparative had a picture-perfect trip last time out, and I'm with you. I think there's a fair amount of pace in this particular race. So with that in mind, my top selection is number 2, Bellamore, who comes in off of a win in the Houston Ladies Classic. Sam Houston form is tricky because from a gambling standpoint, it's basically the forest where the tree falls and nobody's around to hear it, because nobody can bet on it unless you are at the track or in Canada. Having said that, though, Bellamore has the Steve Asmussen workout pattern that I absolutely love, where the 2-back work is really, really fast, and the most recent work is a maintenance drill. That's usually a clue that Asmussen has a horse right where he wants them to be. And I think a repeat of the Houston Ladies Classic effort, where she stalked the pace, was able to pounce, won by a neck, gets her home here. I think she's going to get that kind of setup in front of her, and I think she'll get first run turning for home. The other two I'm going to use, Hot and Sultry, horse number 6, is your 2-1 morning line favorite. I think that price is going to drift up. I think she's better going one turn, but she ran 4th in this race last year, beaten 3 lengths by Secret Oath and Clairiere. No disrespect to this field. It's a decent field. Secret Oath and Clairiere would have this field over a barrel. That's how good they were. I've got to at least use Hot and Sultry. And I'm also going to throw in a big price at you here. And that's number 7, Tiny Temper. The faster they go early, the better this horse's chances figure to be. Deep closer from a very sneaky barn. And only the 5th lifetime start for this one. So I think this one has more room to improve than some of these horses that we've seen 10, 15, 20 times. 2-6-7 for me. If you want to go a little bit narrower and single Bellamore, I think there are worse plays you can make than that. Bellamore would probably be a lone A if we're doing an Ed DeRosa grid structure sort of thing here. But for me, the big thing is I'm going against comparative, who I think is going to be an underlay given how perfect that trip was last time out.
So we both like that big price there with Tiny Temper.
Look at us. Hey. Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought? Not me.
We both liked Bellamore.
Look at us. Hey, look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought? Not me.
And you'll have to forgive me. I'm not sure if you mentioned this horse or not. The only other horse I used was the 8 Shotgun Hottie at 8-1.
I did not mention that one. A nice horse. but the Monmouth form hasn't seemed to travel anywhere else, and that's my one reservation. Still, nice horse, and if Cherie DeVoe winds up having a runner, the sport's better for it.
Yeah, I think that this one should sit closer to the early pace than Bellamore or Tiny Temper will, but we'll bide time behind the early speed and try to strike with either the middle of move or at the top of the stretch. I mean, it's 1-for-2 in the career over this surface and should run better second off the layoff and second over the local track. So I thought at that price at 8-to-1, I'm on there with Shotgun Hottie, but I like that we're kind of seeing this one pretty close to the same.
Yeah, Comparative's a very nice horse, but I can't see that horse getting the similar setup that it got in the Bayakoa, where they went 24, 48, 112 and change. I think it's going to be a lot more lively up front. And if she beats me, I'll tip my cap and move on.
All right. Here we go. Into the final leg, the leg where we hope that we can make the sort of generational wealth that allows us to talk to the help like this.
Hey, 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 don't rub on that. You block that. You understand? That's alpaca. That's $25,000 alpaca. You block that shit. You don't rub them. Put the club soda on there.
So we could say nouveau riche, bougie things like this.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around. With your broke ass.
It's race 10 at Oaklawn. 6 furlongs, $140,000. Non-winner of one something. I'm not your condition reader. Allowance. This race is wide open, and I'm going to use any horse I think is worth a damn and fits the pace. If I'm alive to this, then I want to be pretty well spread out, because this one looks like it could get just wonky and crazy.
Yeah, it's one of those races where you neither do that or take a stand and be right. And I'm taking the stand that there's a lot of inexpensive velocity in this particular spot. I think there are horses that have a lot of early speed, but when they turn for home, the warning lights and alarms start going off, and it winds up being a case where if you have that horse, you're screaming, where's the wire, where's the wire, where's the wire? I'm referring to horses like number 2, Philly Crystal, who has a lot of early speed. Number 12, Pachanga Loca, has a lot of early speed. And there are some horses in here that you know are going to be close early on. Number 7, Condiment Girl, is your 3-to-1 morning line favorite. I thought she had a perfect trip last time out that is not going to replicate itself, and did so against a weaker field. So I'm going against Condiment Girl, and my thinking is I want horses that can pass others late. I wound up going with horses coming out of the same February 10th race at this level. Number 4, Sister Kisses, and number 5, I think it's pronounced Pate. I hope it's not Pate. But to me, Sister Kisses and Pate have both shown an ability to pass others late. Sister Kisses will be up a little bit closer, so if you want a stalking type that gets first run, that's where I think you'd probably go. And Pate, meanwhile, is a horse that has shown an affinity for the track and a late kick that I think makes this one dangerous if they wind up going very, very fast early on. The other one I would use in the event there are widespread scratches is a horse that I think is an overlay on the morning line. I think number 3, Banterra, is going to come down off of that 12-to-1 number. This is a horse that has won the last 2 starts over at Sam Houston. Before that, a decent second over at Remington. This horse was not able to get Lasix for a very long time, because the connections campaigned the horse in some New York bred stakes races early on in the 3-year-old campaign. And then she was off until November of last year. They shipped her to Remington, gave her some class relief, gave her some Lasix, and she's won the last 2 starts. So to me, Banterra is another horse that could potentially be up close and have the stamina to get first run. The work tab on that one scared me just a little bit. It's entirely possible that this horse is just not a good workhorse. There have been plenty of very good horses that just don't show their talent in the mornings. They're just not interested. The one that comes to mind for me is a horse named Big Blue Kitten, trained by Chad Brown, one of his first big horses that won a lot of big races on the turf. They started him in maiden claiming races because he was not a good workhorse. Banterra, though, to me, hits me as a B. If you have bigger bankrolls than I do, by all means, I think use this horse, because if this horse is 12-to-1, that hits me as an overlay. I think we're more likely to get 6-to-1, 8-to-1 on that particular runner. But my stance is I think this race falls apart. I think Philly Crystal and Machanga Loca both go early. I think you've got a chance at a sub-45 opening half mile. And if that's the case, I think it plays into the hands of the 2 horses I'm using.
Well, We're definitely using one of the same horses, and that's the 4 Star Kisses. You mentioned the 3 Banterra. That's another one I'm using. I'll just go ahead. I'll go chronologically here. With the one I used, American Band, 6-1. John Horan should have this one saving all the ground and getting a lovely pocket trip on the rail, waiting patiently for a hole to open up and putting in to punch through. The 3 Banterra was one I used at 12-1. You pretty well mentioned everything there, so I'm going to skip past it. I used the 4 Star Kisses, who you used also. I don't know what to say other than the run style fits. And I'm not looking for a horse. I'm looking for a style to get me through here. And then I used the 12, Pechanga Loca, 12-1. This one should run well for Shire after the layoff and getting its second start over the Oaklawn track. It raced off of a bullet last out, now comes in off of a 2 slower workouts, and should have more for race day. It's something I noticed in the previous race also, where the horse was coming off of a bullet workout in its previous race and just didn't have anything. It just left the goods on the practice field, it seemed like. So I like that that one is running back after a slower workout, after showing some speed in earlier workouts.
Yeah, it's a wide open race. I think you need to take a stand in some way, shape, or form. The other question that I think you need to ask yourself with this race is, what do you do with the pair of Robertino Diodoro trained runners, where one of them's 3-1 on the morning line, the other is 12-1 on the morning line, having won 2 in a row, but hasn't run since October? To me, I didn't like either of them very much. I thought Condiment Girl had a chance to burn up on the front end and would not relish that particular setup and would allow other horses to catch up and not cut the mustard. Waka. Yeah. Mischievous Waka. Girl, I think, is just in over her head a little bit. Most of her races have come against weaker competition, but Robertino Diodoro can't be ignored in these particular spots. I just preferred others.
All right. Well, that is the cross-country pick 5 for Aqueduct and Oaklawn. We're going to wrap up our tickets for everyone here. Here, I'll go ahead. I'll give you Andrew's ticket, which he was nice enough to send ahead of time. Race 7, 3-7-10. Race 8, 4-5. That's at Aqueduct. Race 7, 3-7-10. Race 8, 4-5. At Oaklawn, race 8, 1-8-10. Race 9, 2-6-7. And race 10, 4-5. That gets him out of here at a $54 total, which really honestly isn't bad for the sequence, to be honest.
I wish it was $45. That saved me a little money. If you're giving me a rebate, I'll gladly take that.
I managed to get in a little bit cheaper. I'll give you my ticket here. It was 7-8 with 4, with 2-3-7-8, with 2-3-8, with 1-3-4-12. And I got in at 48 on the 50-cent base, which I could make a case for going a little bit deeper. I, like you, was too, you know, thought that I could maybe use Can't Hurry Love and then Hot Fudge on a ticket. And finally I just said, I have to take a stand. That was, I think that's the critical leg for me is going to be race 8.
I mean, we can both hit if we wind up getting that front runner home in the first leg and we wind up getting Can't Hurry Love home in the second leg. All of a sudden we're both live going into your neck of the woods at Oaklawn. And I think we've got a couple horses in common. So let's see if we can maybe get both of those home. And if we wind up getting both of those tickets home, we're going to be looking back and saying, I got to say, today was a good day.
I'll tell you what, it's been a while. You know, you and I agree sometimes on horses. We don't agree like a whole lot. We don't disagree a whole lot. It's just pretty average, you know, how we see races. Me and Matthew DeSantis typically always disagree on how we see races. And the last couple times he's been on, we've been all over the exact same horses every single time. And it's, we had, I want to say like 3 or 4 of the same horses in common for a full card thing that we did, where it was giving out, you know, value picks and top picks. And he had a day. He won like 3 or 4 of those races, and it happened to be 0 of the races that we were in common. So that kind of hurt my pride just a wee bit.
Yeah, I hear that for sure. Josh, my podcast co-host, and I sometimes don't agree on certain races. And there are times where we'll have completely different tickets on a sequence, and I'll be right in two legs, he'll be right in two legs, and we'll both be wrong in total with our tickets, when what we should be doing is combining our tickets and, yes, playing for a little bit more money, but at the same time, we cover possibilities and we wind up hitting for pretty insane amounts of money, because usually he's got an 8-to-1 shot somewhere, I've got an 8-to-1 shot somewhere else, and neither of us have both of them.
Right, right. Oh, Andrew, you've got your website where you do some pretty good stuff. A lot of opinion editorial kind of stuff that I really enjoy. Can you let people know where to find that?
Sure. AndrewChampagne.com is where that is. There's going to be some Hall of Fame based content coming out there in the next couple of weeks, because I did just get my ballot for the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. I put up something a couple of weeks ago talking about the case of Justify, which if you think that's a simple case, you're naive at best and biased at worst. It's not an easy thing to potentially digest. A decision that I imagine a number of my fellow voters are wrestling with as they wind up filling out their ballots. Also focusing a lot lately on the launch of North Carolina online sports betting. That's coming up on Monday, March 11th. The site that I'm doing a lot of work on for my day job is winnersandwiners.com. A lot of evergreen stuff, a lot of things that inform the North Carolina better about the things that they can expect once sports betting goes live on Monday. So it's been a busy couple of weeks, and Monday's going to be a pretty big day. That goes live the day before the ACC basketball tournament with Duke and North Carolina and NC State and all of those teams on Tobacco Road that a lot of North Carolinians are very passionate about. So a lot of money to be made there. Wind up going to Vegas actually in about 2 weeks for the first week of the NCAA basketball tournament. Oh,
nice.
It's always a lot of fun. My dad and I have done that every year. We're going to be at the Orleans Sportsbook if anybody out there wants to come say hi. It's a blast. We're both really looking forward to that.
That's nice. That sounds fun. I was supposed to do first weekend of the NCAA tournament with a company I used to work for, and that fell through. I've done first weekend of the NFL, and that's pretty bumping as well out in Vegas. Where do you typically stay when you go?
Sure. So our approach has changed the last couple of years. When we started doing this after I moved to California about 10 years ago, we were mostly Caesars Group people. So we would stay at Flamingo or we'd stay at Harrah's. The atmosphere changed after COVID when casinos decided they wanted all their money they lost in 2020 and they wanted it right freaking now. In 2021, we showed up and we were horrified that Flamingo was charging for seats in their sports book. Wanted $80 a day just to sit in one of the chairs. And unfortunately, that's becoming common up and down the strip. They really want people betting on their cell phones, because if you're betting on your phone, chances are you're spending money in three or four other places while the game is going on. You're not just taking up real estate, watching the game on a big screen and not doing anything else. It's unfortunate and it's really changed the experience. So the last couple of years we've gone off the strip. We went to Palace Station last year, and that wound up being pretty cool. Got an all-time story about a guy who bet Kentucky against Kansas State, who just kept screaming, "Let him shoot it," every time Kansas State brought the ball up the floor. Well, Kansas State kept shooting, and they kept making them. And yeah, by the time the game was out of hand, the guy was gone. Like, he beat feet real quick. I, of course, had Kansas State, so I thought that was pretty hilarious. But if I had Kentucky, I'd want to kill that guy. We stayed at Orleans for the first time back in November. We do Thanksgiving weekend there every year as well, and that wound up going pretty well for us. So very excited about that. That's always a blast, and I'm going to be chronicling that. Also on my Twitter, at Andrew Champagne, I'm picking two or three college basketball games a day just to get myself sharp. As of this recording, I am 9-5-1 in the annual pre-Vegas experiment. Still looking for a sponsor for that, by the way. So if anybody out there wants to potentially give me some money for some free exposure, by all means, my DMs are open. Get in touch.
So I forget that you're such a hoops fan. I got to tell you, I know we've talked about this team together before, but my darlings, who I have as a long shot to win the Horizon, is still in it. Cleveland State.
I saw Cleveland State earlier this year. They played St. Mary's just down the road.
That's the game where I fell in love with Cleveland State, because they came back and covered the spread. And I was like, this team has everything that I think is good for a tournament team in March. I think this team could make a run.
I don't think they're very athletic or fast, but they are scrappy. They play defense and they're well coached.
And they've got a guard or guards who can just go out and get it and get the points that they need to. Was it like Drew Louder or whatever his name is? Oh, well, this isn't a basketball show. This is a horse show. That's going to do it for us here at the Notorious OTV. Thanks to Andrew for joining me. Enjoy this cross-country pick five. We will see you next week with more Notorious OTV, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network.